What do you think?
In the sutta, there was a story, I don't know, a kind of animal. When he listened to the voice of the Buddha, and the pleasant feeling arise, but then it die immediately, and then he become a deva. And after that, after listen the Buddha, he became an Aryan. So I think amazing the dog here. The dog here is because of accumulation or accumulated with a voice or. But because the dog can.
If there's no understanding, then it's just hearing sound because there's no understanding at all. But we have no idea, like we discussed earlier, what karma from the past will condition rebirth. It doesn't mean because hearing the sound with no understanding conditioned the rebirth. Just many different conditions, many different factors.
Why you feel pleasant? Why you feel pleasant listening the Buddha voice?
Kusala vipaka, to hear the pleasant sound at that moment, but it doesn't mean there's any understanding at all.
Kusala kamma.
Kusala vipaka, to hear the pleasant sound.
But because
then, depending on accumulations, whether kusala or akusala follows, and who knows what karma from the past conditioned the rebirth in Deva realm, for example.
But the feeling accompanied the hearing consciousness is of upekkha, and after that, in mind of process, the feeling.
So at the moment of hearing the pleasant sound, even though the feeling is neutral feeling, still it's kusala vipaka at that moment, and then maybe attachment with pleasant feeling, who knows. Usually after experiencing pleasant object, usually followed by attachment.
After that, as I understand that, the fog with the pleasant feeling, and so after that condition, the rebirth.
So it's not because of the kusala vipaka, but because of kusala cittas conditioned by past karma that condition the happy rebirth. Like we discussed this morning at breakfast, the last kusala or akusala cittas conditioned by past karma, which will condition the birth, not because of the result of listening to the pleasant object, because that is the result. So it depends on the kusala or akusala cittas that follow, conditioned by past karma.
Yeah, what does it mean, kusala or akusala karma? No, citta conditioned by past karma, what does it mean?
Usually, for example, citta now, hearing of pleasant sound, that is vipaka citta, conditioned by past karma. Yeah. But she's talking about at the end of life, so before the chuti citta, the death consciousness, there must be kusala or akusala cittas, and they are conditioned by past karma and accumulations.
What does it mean?
It just means it's like they are the medium or the means for karma to bring its result by way of the birth consciousness in the next life.
Okay, give me a more clear example.
So, for example, like if someone has perform some very bad karma like Devadatta, that karma is not done just before death. It was done long time ago. Maybe it's some karma done in previous life, who knows. But it conditions the akusala cittas just before death, which will bring result akusala vipaka and rebirth in hell realm in the next life. So in the case of the frog, everyone reads this and they think, oh, just because the frog heard the Buddha, that's why there's happy rebirth in Deva realm. But it's not so simple. This is why one has to understand about conditions, because just hearing the pleasant sound is result, it's not cause. So actually it depends on past karma to condition the last cheetahs, yes, which will condition that rebirth in happy realm.
So as we are talking about the karma, my question is,
what conditions the past karma to produce results. Can you please explain to me, Ajahn?
Can we just say by conditions? Because of many, many conditions unknown, even right now. So what about wise consideration or careful consideration? See? Just one word. It depends on how much understanding is there to be how much wise or careful consideration can be. For example, just the word Dhamma, see? We talk a lot but forget all the time that each moment, each reality is not self. So whenever we use the word Dhamma, it means no self, no one at all. That is more careful understanding about understanding Dhamma. Otherwise, it cannot lead to understanding reality right now. Because there can be a little understanding of what is seen, what is heard, and that which sees and that which hears. But no understanding or not enough understanding. Just hearing that they are Dhamma, they are Dhamma, they are Kamma, they are Vipaka, they are Kusala, Akusala, that's all. Until it, I mean, the reality is Citta and Cetasikas perform their function now, right now, by themselves. Open up, reveal itself as no one at all. What appears is only the nimitta, the sign of this rapidity of that, which really there's no one at all. Because just the color, visible object, cannot be anyone. But the succession of the arising and falling away of that condition, the nimitta, the sign, for sanya now, not I, not anyone at all. This is wise consideration that actually now, sanya is now remembering the nimitta as something all the time. And that is vipalasa, not right at all. Until it becomes little by little to remember with understanding about what is heard more and more and more and more until it's time to understand it. It's only nimitta, no matter what is seen, heard, and so on. All five khandhas have their own nimitta. Whatever appears is just nimitta. Because realities arise and fall away so very rapidly. No one can experience directly one moment which arises and falls away. But the nimitta now can be studied, can be known. Like seeing, before seeing, citta is not seeing. After seeing, citta is not seeing. So they are nimitta of seeing all together as nimitta. See.
Nimitta is
the characteristic
of sign. The sign, okay.
Yeah.
Sign.
Shape, form. That's why from realities, the rapidity of the succession of the arising and falling away, condition nimitta, for sanya to mark and remember as permanent, because no understanding of the arising and falling away of anything at all now. So it keeps on remembering that people and things and table and all one's life and take sanya for I, see. So in order to really eliminate the idea of self, one or right understanding must be very careful to know what is not known now. So it conditioned moment of beginning to understand that which is not known. Like sanya, if we don't talk about it, we don't know that now it's sanya, each moment. And it's I who remember, I who feel vetana khanda, sanya of the group, of the nimitta, of vetana. So hearing the teachings, carefully, it means study, that no one, the moment of understanding about reality, no one, little by little, it can open up or reveal that which is behind the scene, like now, citta and cetasika, arising and falling. Sanya remembers, citta sees, lopa is attached, everything, not self.
That we are living in the womb of Vrita until the panya, the level of enlightenment, understanding.
Begin to understand little by little. And vipassana is moment of that which is unseen is seen, is known, little by little.
I heard you saying one time that those who don't have any understanding of the nimitta of reality may seek to develop samatha in order to have other nimitta. Would you say something?
It depends on what we understand. That's why we better understand just one word at a time, clearly. Now, no doubt about reality, absolute reality. There must be the realities, otherwise there would be nothing arising at all, right? But no understanding of it, because everything is conditioned to arise so very rapidly, continuously. It hides or conceals the moment of arising and falling away of whatever appears now. So it appears as nimitta, no matter what. That's why in the Tipitaka it said that there are nimitta of rupa, rupa nimitta, vedana nimitta, sanya nimitta, sankhara nimitta, vinyana nimitta. So this is a careful considering. One just lives in the world of nimitta, like looking at or watching TV or anything in and around all the time, with the idea of something all the time, from life to life. So it's not easy to begin to understand that it has to be just understanding itself. Nothing can eliminate the idea of self at all. Even if so very little, it's the beginning of the fire which can burn up all the defilements. So somewhere in the Tipitaka it said about a hermit with the victory flag. So that hermit is like the warrior. And the victory flag is no one, no self at all. From life to life, there is the idea of self. But in order to get rid of all realities which one takes for self from life to life, it has to be the very, very fine and very, very subtle panya which can penetrate the truth of what is now as it is. And this is careful study or listening wisely. Just the word Dhamma with the idea of no one at all. No dog, no cat, no bird, no eye.
Can you talk more a little bit about nimitta?
Yes, now. What is there?
You talk about it, the sign.
Yeah, but the question is, what is there now?
The sign of the realities.
That's the answer.
Previously, you talk about the signs of rupa.
Yes, what so, appears now?
Like a visible object.
Okay. It is visible object or that which is seen?
Which is seen.
Does it arise?
No.
It arises and falls away and keep the sign for...
So fast. So no one can experience it. The arising and falling away. In split second, this condition, shape and form and sign and nimitta, which is nimitta of that, nimitta of this, nimitta of this, nimitta of everything, but different composition of the realities.
So it's actually the sign of visible object that appears now.
Yes.
So what is appearing is actually the nimitta of visible object or the nimitta of sound. Nimitta
it, of like it then it become the word or become the like
whatever
body.
Appears yeah. Now.
I'm not sure.
Is
that
it, then it becomes the word. That's thinking about it. That's thinking,
that's thinking
about
already.
It. Oh, the, sorry.
That's thinking about
the world the or the idea or the yes. Visible object or the shape or the appearance, not the sign itself of visible object.
Okay.
Even thinking is nimitta. Can you experience one moment of javanacitta? There are seven together. And how many moments? See?
What about the object of thinking? Can it be nimitta?
Whatever. Okay. Reality.
Yeah, but not an idea.
Not an idea.
That's the reason why we think that this arm permanent.
Are you beginning not to consider wisely? Taking away from reality right now to many idea or, yeah, covers up again and again, over and over.
So when we were talking about breath, for example, the other day, I mean, back to the point I mentioned, because if there's not confidence and understanding about visible object now or whatever appears, the nimitta of visible object, the nimitta of sound, then one is interested or would like to develop more calm or pursue the some particular object. Sometimes, usually with wrong understanding, but even if it's with right understanding, like in the development of samatha, then not enough confidence in the value of just understanding reality now, understanding the sign of reality as anatta.
Sorry, just want to clarify the nimittas. It relates more to the nama, or everything. Even the ideas, it had the nimitta.
Of reality.
Yeah.
Any kanda, rupa or kanda. Nama, kanda, any kanda at all.
Begin to think over it instead of think the other things to cover up that which just heard and begin to develop.
So can you say
nimitta covers up the reality?
Certainly. What appears is only nimitta. That which doesn't have nimitta is only nibbana. How can there be nimitta when it does not arise? And, yeah.
It's like a fire stick.
Similarly, the texts give because of the rapid arising and falling away of realities that there is the sign, the image left behind. Yeah. That is the nimitta.
There's no circle, but it seems that there is
that sign or image left behind. That's the nimitta.
So what we are thinking about also the nimitta, that I mean the object is not, it's not the reality.
What we're thinking the
concept.
About is
the concept,
but if there was no nimitta, there wouldn't be thinking about the idea about it.
But the thinking itself is have
you
nimitta.
You think about object, but we're now talking about nimitta. And all conditioned realities arise and fall away so very rapidly, no one can experience just one reality at a time. That's why, because of the arising and falling so very rapidly, it forms the nimitta, like each characteristic. That's all. So we talk about realities, and then we talk about nimitta, and then we can talk about object later.
Okay.
Little by little, not mix all together. Yeah. Otherwise, we cannot understand clearly. For example now, breath. Again, if you'd like to talk about breath, what is that?
Chittara rupa.
That's the word, the name.
Yeah.
But the characteristic, each reality has its own characteristic. So what is breath?
So it's the reality which does not experience.
Okay, but its own characteristic of breath, not that it cannot experience, but its characteristic, what we call breath.
For example, motion or
softness, that characteristic, that rupa that arises in a group of rupas conditioned by citta.
Also
softness can be.
So it has to be clear understanding of anything which is heard. Otherwise we keep on getting mixed all of what is heard.
And because there are
six groups of rupas conditioned by citta, and the first group, it just has the inseparable rupas, no kaya vinyati, no vachi vinyati, no movement of any kind, just the eight inseparable rupas. So breath is there as hardness or motion or softness, that reality, even though there's no movement of any kind.
So now again, what is breath?
It's the
does breath appear?
It does.
It appears as what?
It's the motion. It's the group of rupa.
It can't appear as a group. It appears through what sense door?
The body door.
When it appears through body door.
Yes.
Right. And it appears as what? With what characteristic through the body door?
With at least eight in.
You're talking from your, not book knowledge, but from breath appearing through the body door. Hardness. Okay, hardness.
What else?
Hardness, softness.
That's the same thing.
Motion. Heat or cold.
Temperature.
Yes.
And why do you call it breath? Or how do you know that it's breath?
This is moving. It's because it's experienced by the body sense.
Hardness here is experienced by body sense.
When you say it's moving, what is moving?
It's the one of the four primary rupa.
There's motion now, but it's not breath, not necessarily breath. There's motion that's experienced.
As the movement of the belly or the wind through the nose, so I can realize that I have breath. That's all.
So we have many conventional ideas like
movement of the belly, actually what we experience as movement of the belly, nothing to do with this subtle rupa conditioned by citta, because like I mentioned, even the first group of rupas conditioned by citta, there's no movement at all at that time. Or like in deep sleep when there's no movement at all, but still breath is conditioned at each moment. So it's not the conventional idea of breathing in and out through the nose or the movement of the body. It's the subtle rupa conditioned by citta. And it can appear, but it's not like the idea of movement of the abdomen. So just the softness or the motion, but usually no idea even if softness or motion is experienced, whether it's conditioned by citta or by temperature or by nutriment, but it has a characteristic of,
but we cannot know.
It depends on panya. It depends whether it appears, but it's just like any object that appears, hardness or visible object, it's not of any importance at all. It's just another dharma passing away. Nothing of interest or to be excited about.
Are these rupas, yeah, which are experienced during the sort of anapanasati, yeah? Are these rupas consist of eight rupas or nine rupas, including jivita indriya?
The only groups of rupa which include jivita indriya, the groups conditioned by karma. So breath is not conditioned by karma, so it cannot have jivitindriya in the group. So it can just be in a group conditioned by citta with no movement at all, or it can be with vikara rupas when there's movement, or when there's intimation, but not with jivitindriya, not in the group conditioned by karma.
About the breath yet.
It's very difficult for me.
I think the only point of studying it is really to know that what one thinks is breath is not the reality, not the Dharma, but an idea. Like when people talk to focus on rising and falling away of the abdomen, nothing to do with understanding breath at all. So the reason for studying is just to really find out, actually it's just a Dharma of no special importance, but not what we conventionally think about. Like when we're discussing about nimitta, and I mentioned those who don't understand reality or nimitta of reality may be interested to develop nimitta of other object, but actually if someone focuses on breath and wishes to have nimitta of breath, but if it's all with lobha and wrong concentration from the beginning, it can never even be samatha bhavana at all either. So whatever kind of bhavana it is, it has to begin with right understanding. If it's in the development of understanding of reality, it has to be that reality, that rupa, that's not self, which is understood when it appears. And if it is in the development of samatha, it has to be the wise way of reflection that brings calm naturally, not because of wishing to have that such an object.
So if somebody refers to the object of anapanasati, generally that object means concept. There is no specific reality he's experiencing. He is experiencing what he does experience is all the sort of hardness and softness, but there is no actual single object of anapanasati.
Are you talking about awareness of the subject of contemplation in samatha?
Yeah.
Then it's a concept.
But you are saying when you one start to examine what that object is, what one experiences through mainly through body door is individual realities. So there is no such thing as...
If we're talking about awareness of reality, there's no examining.
Yeah.
In the development of samatha, there is contemplating,
yeah,
but the object is a concept.
Yeah, okay, good.
But if we talk about awareness of the reality that is taken for breath, that only can happen if that reality appears. So there's no examining or taking it as an object.
What do you mean by examining?
I'm not answering. My question is, why are people interested in developing samatha? Why are people so interested in developing samatha? Why do people develop samatha?
What do you mean by people?
People mean that those meditation practitioners. Why do they practice meditation?
Do they understand what meditation is?
No, just say that they practice anapanasati.
Yeah.
Why do they practice it?
But do they understand anything about what samatha is or what anapanasati is? Because if they don't understand what is samatha or calmness now, then if it's just wanting to concentrate on that object, actually...
Well, do they want to concentrate on a specific object?
You have to ask them.
Oh, yeah, I have to ask them. I didn't...
they have ignorance.
Usually no understanding, just wanting some result, but not understanding anything about reality, not understanding anything about samatha or the development of samatha, just clinging to a practice, wanting to focus.
The answer that we commonly hear from people who advocate that is that it was recommended by the Buddha. But that's wrong reading of the suttas.
By their teachers. Or by the teachers.
Or by the teachers, yes.
And particularly
they cite something in the Visuddhimagga to the effect that it's a suitable object for everybody, but that again ignores other parts of the Visuddhimagga which say it's an object that gets more and more subtle as it's developed, and it's an object suitable for Buddhas and sons of Buddhas.
Yeah, it's for Mahapurissa.
Mahapurissa.
Yeah.
And the other
part where they cite from is talking about temperament. It's suitable for persons of any temperament, but it doesn't mean it's suitable for everybody.
And they also say they would like to have less stress and more calm in life. This is common, but actually there's no understanding of what calm is or what kusala citta is.
I would like to have more about the nimitta, but before that, can you elaborate a little bit more about calm? And you're talking about they don't know what it is.
So what is calm now? When does calmness arise?
That's some time before you just remember you, when considering and the kusala arise, is calm there?
Whenever the citta is kusala.
Kusala, yes.
So if one has no idea about what is kusala and what is akusala, then how can one know what when calmness is? Like, for example, to bring it back to daily life, in the van we had the example, we talked about the example of one is thinking and obsessed about the bad smell or the movement in the bus, then there's a lot of akusala citta, no calmness at all, and a lot of difficulty in life. But when reflecting on Dharma or considering wisely, at those moments the citta is calm, no thinking about the other objects that disturb one so much at that time. So even now, at moments of wise reflection, the citta is calm, not because we try to make it calm or we try to avoid having stress, but naturally when helping those around or moments of metta, moments of kusala, calmness is there already. So only by understanding when the citta is kusala and when it's not, can there be any understanding of calmness. For example, if I just concentrate on the pen or on the abdomen, for example, what is the kusala? How can it be calm? Because there's no dana at that moment, there's no metta, there's no understanding of anything. So actually it must be ignorance and lobha that is conditioning that concentration or that focus at that time.
For most people, calmness is taken to mean the absence of any noticeable feeling, pleasant or unpleasant. Or maybe it's just very slight pleasant feeling is calmness.
Not so anger when someone disturbs,
right,
something like,
right,
that.
Mm. Yeah, and simultaneously good mood. But there's nothing to do with the calmness that the Buddha spoke about, which is a mental factor, as Sarah said, that arises with every kusala citta. So we have to forget about the conventional idea of calmness altogether.
So the characteristic of calm and sati is different. Can you just about the characteristic of that?
So, for example, in the example I mentioned, when there's reflecting wisely on Dharma, there's no agitation, no restlessness, no disturbance at that moment. This is calmness, pasadi, chetasika, that arises with every moment of kusala. And when it's calmness that develops with right understanding of realities, it's a higher calm that develops and leads to development of wholesome factors. But awareness, which also arises with every kusala citta, it is aware of the reality that is experienced at that moment. It's mindful of being kusala and avoiding akusala at that moment. So awareness, sati, is aware, but calmness is calm.
So do you think that most of the moments, yeah, experienced by the practitioner, yeah, Sogdo, meditation practitioner. Not really kusala, but moha with udacha. Restlessness.
Like now, but in addition, in when one's following the practice, the wrong practice, ditti is conditioning it too. But even now, whenever there is no understanding, no kindness, no generosity, then moha is there. So moha arises most of the time, most of the day.
And I think, as in all situations, it's really impossible to generalize as to what the citta is, because people are so different.
Sorry, I love to generalize things. It's my tendency.
Not only you.
Generalize everything.
No problem with generalizing, but I'm just saying that situation and then citta, there's no necessary connect. Always good to remember that.
So, I'm not sure whether I understand correctly. Nimitta does mean it, the signs of every realities, right?
Conditioned
realities. Conditioned realities. Okay, include.
What do you see now?
See, yes, everything.
Yes. Nimitta. You live in the world of Nimitta.
Yes.
But without the realities, there wouldn't be any Nimitta. That's why it's covered up. But actually, Nimitta is just a sign of the arising and falling away very rapidly, continuously, from moment to moment, of any reality.
So on our discussion list, there are many people who are reluctant to accept that Dhammas are momentary. And they say, well, it's not how it appears. And they are unwilling to accept the explanation that what is being experienced is the nimitta of many, many different realities arising and falling away so rapidly.
So, I think back to the point object that I mentioned before, that about the object of the thinking, that's not the nimitta. I think, like in the dream, that the concept in the dream, like we dream about something, thinking itself is the nimitta.
Without nimitta and memory of nimitta, can be the idea or dream?
No.
Or can we say it's a different kind of nimitta? The object of
dreaming. No, it's just concept.
It's just concept.
When it's not reality, it's concept. So nimitta is what?
It's the sign of the realities.
Which condition?
By condition.
Concept. So from reality, there is nimitta and then concept.
And the concept, it may not be any words, but just impressions and ideas and, yes, patterns and different colors, but actually it's the concept, it's not the nimitta, it's just the sign of the reality itself. It's like reality, it's a sign of reality.
Without nimitta, can there be any concept?
In theory, it could
no,
be.
No, in truth.
In truth, let me think, because sometime we think about something new.
Okay, but if that hasn't been seen or heard before at all, no. Can there be nimitta to be thought of?
I think it could be.
Even if we think of, say, a flying elephant, it's a combination of different concepts that are themselves based on reality initially. We can't think of anything that is not refer back to some experience of reality originally.
Because, let's say, how people making the spaceship or something like something that
why,
never
why
happened
Why not
before.
Just a chair?
Okay, for me, this thing is...
The scientist.
Yes.
Okay. So you think that
a new scientific discovery is not based on previous experience?
Oh. Okay, they accumulate a lot of things, but...
Well, it's the mixture, as you said. Before, I also have the same wonder, like... sometimes we think of something unusual, very abnormal, but now you've just explained that it can be the mixture of the things we have already, the reality we have experienced in the past, so who knows? Yeah.
Some people have extremely vivid imaginations, say artists, for example. Mm. They can create a painting that is something you would never imagine. But it's all based on
Skena, Paramadharma, Nimitta, Panyati, concept. That
sorry, Achan.
Makes known.
I cannot know the Pali word. The second one, okay. But
the first one, Paramatadharma.
Dharma, absolute reality, nama or rupa, like visible object is Paramatadharma. Sound is Paramatta Dharma. It just means Dharma, but emphasizing the reality. So because of Dharma or Paramatta Dharma, there are nimitta, signs of Dharmas. And because of the signs, it's possible for there to be concepts, ideas, impressions about those signs. Like in dreams or like now or when building spaceships, just the same.
You said nimitta is the sign, a shadow of reality, nama and rupa, which is the object of citta, or also nimitta is the shadow of citta and cittasika also.
Any conditioned reality,
any
nama or rupa, so even sanya itself, there is the nimitta of sanya or vedana now, nimitta of vedana. So, for example, there's the understanding of pleasant feeling. It's actually the nimitta of pleasant feeling, not just one pleasant feeling, but the sign of pleasant feeling. And because there is the sign of pleasant feeling, there can be dreams or thinking about pleasant feeling too. Like remembering the feeling or the when eating the mango. Because of the sign of that pleasant feeling, there's thinking and remembering and about the idea of the mango and the pleasant feeling.
Why everything appear more complicated, not more clearer. After hearing the nimitta and sanya, how can sanbanya mark the feeling, mark the cetana cetasika when the citta, when the object of the citta is a visible object? Sanya just mark the object. How can it mark the same time?
The reason it seems more complicated is because there is more considering and more understanding, so we realize it's not so simple. It's a bit like when you said, oh, when you wake up in the night and are so disturbed, it's just because of past karma. And we said, no, actually we need to consider other conditions like accumulations or the conditions we were discussing yesterday. Otherwise, one will think that everything happens because of karma or good luck or bad luck or something like this. So we learn about more aspects, more details to really understand how it's possible that different dharmas arise now, how they are anatta now, why actually there's no luck involved, no person involved, no person who carries on from life to life, and so on. So at each moment now, sanya is marking the object, remembering it, and because of sanya marking the object at each moment, there can be the sign of what is experienced and the remembering and thinking of it. If there was no sanya marking each object, impossible to invent a spaceship. But because it's marked each visible object, each sound, each idea, that's why it's possible to think about spaceships or purple elephants or anything. So without sanya, no thinking at all.
So sanya will mark the a feeling at a different moment when it marks the visible object. Different moment when it marks.
Sanya marks whatever citta experiences at a
just
moment.
Just mark the object.
So for example, if it arises with seeing, it marks a visible object that is seen. If it arises with thinking, it marks the same object as the thinking, the citta that thinks. So it arises with every citta, marking and remembering exactly what is experienced at that moment.
So can I say that reality condition nimitta and nimitta condition concepts, and because of the nimitta, we have the feelings that things last long. Is that correct? It's because of the nimitta, things seems last long.
I would put it a little differently. I would say each conditioned reality has nimitta, rather than saying the nimitta is conditioned by reality. And because of there is the nimitta of different realities, this is why there can be the thinking about different objects. And it's not because of nimitta that things seem to last long, but actually it's because of the lack of understanding of the arising and falling away, the rapid rising and falling away. So it's because of ignorance that it's not understood at all. Because for the one who has with a lot of understanding, who clearly understands the arising and falling away of realities, clearly understands what nimitta of reality is, then no idea of things lasting long. So it depends on the understanding.
Could you please explain the difference between nimitta and concept?
So as we said, nimitta is just the sign of reality. So it's like even when it's developed understanding, even when it's vipassana jnana, it is the nimitta of reality that is experienced. But the concept is just that which is thought about or imagined, even not in words. So at a moment of dreaming now, dreaming about the trees in the garden, it's panyati, it's ideas. Even there's no thinking, but there are those impressions, because it's not the reality or sign of reality which is appearing at that moment.
To my understanding, a concept is a sort of cover term, yeah, which covers everything. Non-dhammic things. And then, as a type of concept, there is sort of category which is called nimitta. No?
Without nimitta, can there be concepts?
Probably not.
So concept is that which makes known as something from nimitta. So nimitta is a sign only. But at moment when it makes known as something from sanya, memory, that is concept. Like now. What is there? What is this? Concept. It makes known by this shape and form of nimitta as only this. And this different. So concept is sanya of the nimitta as different things, different nimitta, different concept. But concept cannot be concept without nimitta at all, and there cannot be nimitta without paramattha dhamma.
Concept is object of thinking consciousness. It's, if you like, created by the moment of consciousness itself, whereas nimitta pertains to a reality. It's a nimitta of visible object.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hmm.
Yeah. So nimitta cannot be reality.
Yeah? It's a sign of reality. Yes.
I know. Mm.
Can there be the shadow of a bird without a bird?
No. I have my own simile. When you take a plane, yeah, there's a jet engine, yeah? Yeah? And that burning itself is reality, and what comes out, yeah, from the tail of the engine, yeah, that is nimitta. It's my own simile.
Because of realities, must be nimitta.
Yeah.
And from memory, you know that it's the engine of a plane.
So each reality is a real thing. But what is coming out of the engine is just...
What appears is only the nimitta of reality, and it make known as something, concept.
And is the simile of the fire stick meaningful for you?
No.
Because?
Because processing of seeing is a bit slow. So it's the reason why you see this.
I beg your pardon.
Just now, see? Nimitta and Banjati and reality. But usually no one knows about reality. What they know is only Nimitta and concept.
And even when we're talking about concept, there could be concept about reality or concept about concepts or combination or concept of the meaning or the word. So even like now we're talking about the concept of visible object. It's different from the sign of visible object that can be directly understood. Even when it's the right word or the right concept, but it's still not the sign of the reality itself. Because it's still the idea about reality.
And that's why when you're talking about intellectual understanding and direct understanding, so when it's intellectual understanding, it's the making known of the reality, the concept of reality, whereas the direct understanding understands the sign of reality.
So it is last longer than the citta? I mean the nimitta of the realities. The signs last longer? It is...
Huh? As long as there are the arising and falling away of realities, as far as there are arising and falling away of a reality,
countless realities arising and falling away, countless visible objects are being seen now just when we speak for an instant. So the visible objects are arising and falling away, the seeing is arising and falling away, and the sign is the sign of the characteristic of visible object or of seeing.
And it also arises and falls away.
It's the reality that arises and falls away. The sign is just the sign of that, like taking a picture of the characteristic of reality.
The succession of the arising and falling away very rapidly of reality, condition nimitta.
Succession,
that's
a series of realities.
Like fire stick, just one.
Arising.
And can we also say, like a movie is a succession of stills, but because of the rapidity of the showing of those, it appears to be continuous. you can't say it lasts longer than the reality, but it's the rapidity of the arising and falling of the reality that creates the nimitta.
Okay, that two things.
That gives rise.
Okay, let me think. For example, just get example, the light in the circle that normally Sarah give an example, right? When we give a circle, the light starts like this, we see a circle, not just many points, right? Just imagine that one point is the one citta. Just imagination. One point is the one arising, right, and fall away is the one point. Because the example, right? And one circle
just
is the succession.
Just one point does not appear. What appears is the nimitta already.
And now it's the idea, the concept about nimitta that is being thought about. So long stories about the sign and the reality, which is not the understanding of the nimitta of that reality.
So because Ajahn talking about the succession of many, it becoming nimitta. But actually nimitta as each moment of the realities. Right? Arise and fall away. Its succession is becoming like what we see here, concept.
Nimitta too.
Nimitta of reality.
How about a calculator? The row of digits on a calculator. You know that there's only one on at any given moment. In a calculator.
A real calculator.
You have a row of digits. Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah.
5.
Only one is on at any time. Only one digit.
Okay.
But because so rapidly it appears that all six or seven are on at the same time. So for me, the idea that if something is very rapid, then it appears to be continuous. I don't have any difficulty with that.
Okay, that I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about the nimitta, right?
Then that's right.
Nimitta is the for example, that the seven number or just single number. The nimitta, because
each one has an emitter, its own nimitta.
Yes, and the theory of that, also the nimitta, right?
By thinking.
That's the concept.
That's the thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, that already is concept.
Yeah. But for each digit.
Yeah, agree.
Okay.
Can it be known?
Cannot. Like,
so what is known is only the succession.
Yes.
Nimitta only.
Succession of nimitta, right?
Succession.
Because
of
just
nimitta.
One cannot be known.
Okay. Succession of nimitta. No.
Of the arising and falling away.
Succession of the arising and falling away of reality. Is the nimitta, not the succession of nimittas. Ooh.
Then, in your case, then there's seven number at this. That's the nimitta.
More than that.
More than that, sure.
Yeah. Mm. How can you count the first moment to number now?
Mm. Sir, could you just repeat what you said now?
Gang said that nimitta is the rising and falling away in succession of nimittas, and I said it's the rising and falling away in succession of the realities. That's why there is the nimitta. But actually, also we can say each conditioned reality has nimitta. So anyway, what the important point is that it is the nimitta of reality which appears. And if there hadn't been the arising and falling away of realities, there wouldn't be that nimitta of reality.
Oh, we can say that it has its own characteristic. But only one cannot be known, never be known, even Buddha, because the next one followed instantly. No one can stop the falling away and then have panya. Before the next moment, which is conditioned by Anantarapachaya and Samanantarapachaya. That's why the arising and falling away condition nimitta. But each one has its own characteristic, which cannot be known only when it becomes nimitta. Arising and falling away so long, enough.
When you say even the Buddha, for example, in the case of the Buddha, the understanding and the arising in the sense door process
because it's just the visible object that is the object. So at that moment, is it still reduced?
Just one object at a time.
Mm.
So many, many series.
Many, many series, but still and it can
be. As fast and
is
quick
that,
and
is that.
Sure,
in that case,
like,
it's not the nimitta because it's the visible object itself.
It from moment of apanchatvara vajana, panya cannot arise.
Right, and
seeing. And as they say, the Sampatijan, these are nimitta.
And these are all nimitta.
Yeah.
So each one, each visible object has
its characteristic.
Its characteristic or nimitta.
Magnificent.
The arising and falling away. But it cannot appear as a characteristic.
Right.
But as nimitta.
As nimitta,
yeah.
So after seeing the object of the other citta in the process will take the nimitta of the visible object as the object, right? So when there is panya, and also in the mind or process, it's also take the,
as we say,
nimitta.
It has to be conditioned by anantarapatya and samanantarapatya, so panya cannot arise in between the process.
So the panya will also take the nimitta.
So fast enough to understand that which is so very quickly from one session series to another. It depending on whose panya. See, panya Sariputta cannot compare with the panya of Buddha. But the other cannot compare his panya with Sariputta. So we can see the succession of the arising and falling so fast, and who can know?
But the Buddha's panya can keep up with, can arise at each moment of
Kiriya
Chitta in each series, and understand whatever appears at each moment.
Mm-hmm.
And even so, because of the arising rapid succession, it is still the nimitta of the reality of whatever is appearing. So panya is the realities which experience in the mind or process, right? So at that moment, panya.
Or so, if we're talking about the Buddha, or in the
sense door process.
Yes.
So
in the
Oh, I thought that it's the mind door process which a panya.
When we talk about vipassana, it has to be through mind door.
Yes.
But it does mean that there is no sense door at all.
Of course, there before the sense
door. During vipassana yana, because not only one reality appear, the nama and the rupa, how many namas, how many rupas, depending on conditions, not rule like 10 or 5 or 6 of this or that at all. It depends, but not just one, more than one. But short, or how long, how short. For Buddha, so very quickly, he can follow all the process.
Sense door and mind door. And if it's like for the, if rupa appears like, I mean, the Buddha knows exactly which process, what, but, and if rupa appears, who knows whether it is sense door or mind door?
The object of panya cannot be the visible object. It's at the moment of seeing
anything, but
at the moment of seeing it, I mean, seeing
in
consciousness,
not at the moment of
seeing, but the kusala cheetahs in the idol process. In idol process, or the mind or process that follows immediately, and if visible object appears, who can say whether it's the visible object in this process or this process, because it follows immediately afterwards.
I think it's just a nimitta of the visible object. It's not the visible object at the moment of seeing.
Only seven chetasikas cannot be panya, but its visible object is still experienced by the kusala or akusala chitas in that process, exactly the same visible object.
And the same reality
is experienced by those all the chitas in the idol process.
Okay, take an example of seeing. Of the idol process, there are 17 chittas which arise and falls away. And are you saying that even at that moment, nimitta takes place during the idol, yeah? There will be 17 moments of chitta, yeah? And Kunyo Konsuchin seems to be saying that even at that moment of 17 chittas, nimitta can take place.
If we don't talk about how many moments, we just talk about it. Any reality which is conditioned, arising and falling away, only one correct, one reality cannot be known. What can be known is only the succession of the arising and falling away of the conditioned nama and rupa. So even nama is experienced through mind or process, vipassana jnana, not just one, because it's impossible for which one, anyone to be experienced directly, because it has to go to the series, the whole series.
No, my understanding is that mind or dual process takes place after
sense the process,
yeah.
Or mind the process, or any the process,
yeah.
So
at that time, nimitta may arise.
Only nimitta which is experienced, because only one cannot be experienced. What can be experienced must be nimitta. Only nibbana doesn't have nibbana, nimitta at all.
And so we can say that in the Buddha's case, even though anything can be directly known, but still it has to be nimitta, because there has to have been the whole process in order for that reality to be known. So it is still the nimitta of realities.
Otherwise it wouldn't be anatta.
Yes.
And can the, since the process arises in between mind or process in vipassana jnana?
Are you saying sense the process through the eye door, then there would be another sense door process through the ear door, something like that?
With mind or processes.
Before having mind or process.
So it's just exactly the same
as that.
Right now. See? But panya is there. So how great, how sharp panya is that, to be able, like the warrior, go through akusala and attachment itself as things. But only different realities, but nimitta.
And if it's in that case the nimitta of
visible object, but actually no thought about whether it's the visible object in which process, because it's just the reality that appears.
Even thinking must be known as not self. Whatever one get used to take it for self must be clear as not self. Otherwise it's impossible to eradicate absolutely the idea of self in daily life.
Yeah, there is one thing which I do not understand. Say there's a mind or process, and then suppose there is a, when there is a sense door process, yeah, through the ear door, eye door, then mind door process, which is accompanied by very strong high level panya, yeah, and then that panya would have either rupa or nama as its object, yeah, but rupa and nama have gone already. How can panya, which takes place after the sense door, can see rupa as rupa and nama, which has gone, you know?
So, for example, the visible object
that was experienced in the idol process, it can be experienced, it can be known through mind or process too, that follows, because there is the sign of visible objects. So many visible objects have been experienced, but there is the sign that can be directly known or understood. So this is why Ajahn was mentioning vipassana jnana through the mind door, knowing any reality, for example.
So the object of panya is not, say, visual object or actual seeing. It's more like a sign of...
Even when we're talking about vipassana jnana, even vipassana jnana of the Buddha, it is the sign of reality that is known. That's the point.
And that's why, for example, the dosa has fallen away,
but it has the sign that can be known. There can't be panya at the moment of dosa, but it has a sign that can be known.
It's exactly the same. It's a sign of the
characteristic of reality. And at the moment when there is understanding of the sign, there's no thought about, oh, is it sign or reality? It's just the understanding of the characteristic of reality, but actually it is the sign of reality.
And we have heard from the very beginning when we study intellectual understanding that anything can be object of mind or process. See, it's so true until it becomes true. True. Each word becomes true when panya develops to that degree. If vipassana jnana cannot understand reality, anything, how can it be vipassana jnana? So right now, just like this, panya developed to understand what appears is nimitta. Just learn to understand that actually there is only that which can be seen. What is left behind is Mahabhuta Rupa and so on. So what's the use of just that which is hard, soft, heat, cold, to be clung to? See, it's just a way to have less and less attachment because of understanding.
I have to do some generalization. There are people who are doing sort of Samnak Vipassana method, yeah? For them, do you say, for them it's impossible to have even the panya of the first level Nama Rupa Paricheda Dhyana?
Even
impossible.
Even intellectual understanding is not there.
Or not, so it can't be Satipatthana or...
Because if there was right intellectual understanding, they would have no interest at all in focusing on the abdomen or this object or that object or going to a special place, because they would understand that there is seeing now, there is visible object now, any time, any place.
No wise consideration at all about all dharmas are anatta.
But when I listen to your tapes, yeah, often I hear people saying that they've done that kind of method for years and then left the Samnak and came to see, to listen to your teaching. So they have their own wisdom or accumulation of...
Accumulation to know what's right and what's wrong.
In spite of hearing the
wrong view or following the wrong practice, this is why accumulation is important to understand. So not because of past karma, but because of the accumulation from the past, previous lifetimes, many times ago, the accumulation of right understanding. When hearing the right thing, they realized that it was wrong understanding or wrong practiced that they followed before.
And that is parami. Otherwise, without parami, how can there be understanding?
As we were saying earlier, or yesterday, they may previously not have heard the correct explanation of the Dhamma, but they heard someone else saying this is the Dhamma, so they followed it. But then, for whatever reason, they happen to hear a different explanation, as a result of which they can realize that their previous understanding was incorrect.
But I think it's a very courageous action, because they may have done that kind of practice for 10 years, 20 years, then they come to a realization that
this is why it takes courage and honesty to hear the truth, because it's not easy to admit that it's all wrong view and wrong practice one's been following. So that's why there has to be such a parami, truthfulness and honesty to really, and courage, virya parami, to really understand that what is right and give up the wrong ways or the wrong practices.
Also, yeah, people are going back to the...
You're right. Back to accumulation. Yeah.
Some people come here and they hear the right, what is right, and discuss about realities, and then they go back to follow some wrong ideas. So, all different accumulations. Hung was asking earlier about those who were so fortunate to be born at the Buddha's time and to hear the teachings. And I was talking about results of karma and accumulations. Otherwise, one might think they were just so lucky or something. But actually, it depends on karma in the past. And one can read, like in the Teri Teragata, all the amazing kusala that was done by people in the past to bring about such results and accumulations, not just from this life but from aeons ago, in order to be able to hear and consider and appreciate the teaching.
No, I mean that the first time, from aeon ago, the first time when that person the listened the right teaching. The first time, from eon ago.
Uncountable life.
Yeah.
No matter you try.
But why? From eon ago, why didn't listen to the right teaching? Why until now, for example?
How do you know you never listened to the right teaching before? If you never listened to the right teaching, maybe no conditions to appreciate what's right now. Who can say or know? What's the point of speculating about it? What's the point of thinking about what was the first time I never listened or heard, in which lifetime so many aeons ago? Just forgetting all about what's real now. And I mentioned that when we were chatting, that when one appreciates that whatever arises now is by conditions like karma, accumulation, so many different, anantarapachya, so many different conditions, it makes it easy to rejoice in others' good fortune, or who hear the teachings when one doesn't hear, or who have developed good understanding. No thought of why not me, or why my bad luck, or something like that. So understanding conditions is a condition for more kusala in life too.
When there is the understanding of no self at the end, no matter how much you understand this moment or whatever, the goal is no self at all. So each word of the teachings of the Buddha will lead to detachment, depending on the degree of understanding.
Yeah, 99% of teaching is teaching of attachment, promoting attachment, not detachment.
And ignorance.
And when one thinks about, well, why didn't I listen before, and why did I do this, and why didn't I do this, and whatever, actually it's all the long story about me in past lives, and me who did this. It's not the understanding of dharmas, one dharma, one citta at a time, which is conditioned. That doesn't belong to anyone at all. It's a strong clinging to I, what will happen to me in my next life, how much understanding will I have, why didn't I do this or that. It's the story of I, is not the understanding of detachment of Dharma.
And that which knows is Panya, only Panya, begins to understand what happens in one's life today, each move, little by little.
Tohung's question at the beginning was about
karma bringing its result, and the we know there are many conditions which condition what karma and whether karma will bring a result now, even for each moment of seeing or hearing. And her question was about what are the main other conditions that support karma to bring a result. Like we know, even for karma to bring the result of patisandhicitta, there have to be the accumulations, the natural decisive support condition, and other conditions too. What are the
what
other?
What condition is pasa cetasika, which arises with each citta?
Right, pasa, right, by sahajata, by the accompanying cetasika.
And aharapajya, see?
Right.
And what is the condition of vedana, sanya, cetana, ekakata?
All the other cetasikas.
Yeah. It's not just think briefly.
No, yeah. It's deep but topic, yeah.
No matter how much you understand through words, story, it's not the moment of understand reality with right understanding, which is conditioned by understanding that actually there's no self. More and more, when there's more understanding, it brings about no one, no self. That's the right consideration.
In an example, we read, for example,
everyone always talks about, oh, if Ananda had requested the Buddha to live longer and this, it would have been a condition for karma not to bring the result, the death at that moment. So one can see that actually the conditions are so complicated. So what would this condition be that if he had spoken or
before all, there must be the understanding of now. Our reality which appears is not self. Before there can be the...
Otherwise it's
just the idea of someone saying this or doing this action.
Otherwise no condition to detach from that object as not self. But by hearing a lot, understanding more, no expectation, there can be moment of understanding with direct awareness. It is the beginning of understanding the nature of that which is not self as it is. That which experiences or that which just appear. No thought about conditions. It has to be later. And no thinking, but it's the understanding in order to have less attachment.
Yeah, I can understand the conditions, not now.
Just to detach.
Because otherwise, instead of being
the condition for less clinging to the idea of self, it can be thinking in the wrong way, can be conditioned for more clinging to the idea of self, like idea of the previous lives and whether I heard or not and what was my karma. So it's if it's not understanding of Dharma now, then it would just be more clinging to the story of I or the story of Ananda or the story of the Buddha's life, because actually there was no Buddha or no Ananda. It's just death consciousness conditioned by karma. But there must be other conditions that condition that very moment to arise right then.
Going to say was that whole conversation I just completely missed by conditions. Accumulation, just
something else.
Something else, completely thinking about something else. I have no idea what you said. I'm sorry, it's nothing.
See, it's still you or it's anatta. Before it can be moment of never mind.
You talked about an instant of devanatta who went to hell because an aksara citta, which remembers what he has done in the past, yeah? Yeah?
Actually, it's the chaitanya itself, the karma itself. The chaitanya itself is the karma, and that karma conditions those last akusala cittas to bring its result by way of the birth consciousness in the next life. So it's not by remembering
Aksara kamma, but he's remembering what he...
What about if it was a deed done 10 million lifetimes before?
Yeah.
Can still bring a result?
Yeah.
Even though no idea of it in that lifetime. Like the Buddha could remember what the deed done was, why he experienced this or that result of vipaka, but who else can know?
Except for the last 5 moments of aksara citta, there would be a moment of aksara citta, which not remembering, but to me it's remembering.
I think the point is that the object of those last 5 javanajittas was not the object of the preceding mind or processes. It comes out of nowhere, as it were, because of the conditioning force of the gamma that is going to condition the rebirth. It's only for that reason that it becomes the object for 5 moments of javana. He may have been thinking about something completely different before that. Is this the idea that what one is thinking about can condition the rebirth? Yeah. It's not the teaching of the Buddha at all.
Shall we talk about karma? Can this, that the karma in this life produce or condition the rebirth of this life? And can it condition seeing right now?
No.
Yes.
Who
knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? Because
not rebirth, just result.
Seeing.
Seeing, yeah. But not the rebirth.
Yeah. Hearing, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So karma is hidden all the time, at moment when it arises and at moment when it produces result. So the karma cannot be known. When will it produce result? In what life? This life, next life, or the other lives? And the result which arises cannot be known from what life?
This
life or other life?
It's part of...
So many karmas.
Can we say it's part of one's ayuhana?
Ayuhana? Only one karma condition, patisanticitta, right? But it collects other karmas which can produce result in this life. Like being born a dog, it cannot be a prince. See?
Cannot change.
Yeah, but it can receive just the way it can. Good food and so on.
Actually,
all the past karmas, all the kusala and akusala, chetana, are accumulated at that moment of birth, but not all can bring results during that life.
That is the meaning of ayuhana. So we understand what ayuhana is, not only one karma, but the other karma which can bring results.
Because sometimes people hear that if it just collects the ones that can bring result, what about all the other karmas? They are there lying dormant, but cannot bring result.
We experience these past karmas as vipaka, mean that chittas which take place before the last 5 moments of chittaya, they are vipakas, mean that no.
What are you talking about? The chitta?
Chitta?
Before death, or the aramana before death,
kusala, or it could be kusala or aksala.
He is saying that because it's result of karma, conditioned by karma, it must be vipaka. But...
Yeah.
Karma conditions vipaka, but it conditions other things too.
For example?
Rupas.
Yeah.
Eye sense.
Mm-hmm.
Eye sense is not vipaka.
Yeah. Can karma condition kusala, citta, aksara, citta? If it's conditioned by kusala, no. It has to be some kind of accumulation, not karma itself.
Not in this particular case. This one case is different.
I also heard about the, what they call the ineffective karma. So in what, so what is the karma which is ineffective?
You mean?
I heard some...
You mean
I don't know. I think I have read somewhere, but I'm not sure. It's some like ineffective.
Can you be a bit more specific before we can know what you're asking about?
I think I read somewhere in a book, say, talking about the kind of karma which is ineffective. So it would not produce results.
It becomes ineffective if it's produced result.
Or
no longer effective.
Because it's produced result.
Okay, so or some
yeah, that's it.
Okay. Or some karma can only bring result in the present life because it's weak karma. And some karma can only bring result in the next life. So if it doesn't bring result in that life, then it cannot bring result later.
It doesn't. Yeah.
No, ahosi just means past karma.
So I was wondering if it's true or not. Yeah. So what you say that is there is no such...
I think Sarah's just explained is more likely to be what they were referring to because, as you said, some karma can only bring results, say, in the present life. So if it doesn't bring its result by the end of this life, then it's... Yeah, then it becomes ineffective, incapable of bringing result.
A strong degree of karma can produce... I mean, that one karma can produce result... One result or many results, many vipaka. Just one or many?
Many.
Results. Many.
But when we say one karma, can it just be one karma or does it have to have been accumulated? So, like for example, the intention to kill and the killing, is it just one karma or has there been the accumulation of that karma for a long time? In order to be of such a degree that it is that kind of karma that can bring result by way of rebirth and other vipaka cittas during life. So actually karma is accumulated.
Your question is whether one karma produced just one result or many cittas? Yeah. As profit of the deed. Which has been done. Because you see that you kill just a mosquito, but you'll be in hell for how long?
Long time.
See, profit.
Profit from the interest on it.
Wholesome, unwholesome.
Because when we mention karma, that means so many chetas, chetana, chetasika, in so many process of chitta.
Right.
It couldn't happen just in a single moment. A deed of great unwholesomeness or wholesomeness, it happens over a period of time. So lots of kusa or akusala jitas involved.
And it also depends on the degrees of jetana, even in that moment. That's why it brings more result as interest or profit. Would you like to profit? When it's...
When kusala.
Yeah.
And you had a question when we were discussing about karma this morning about eye sense, because eye sense is the result of karma, and being blind means by karma no conditions for eye sense to arise, and other factors like nutrition that condition the eye sense, so other supporting conditions for karma to bring its result. For example, if the eye sense is deteriorating. We know eye sense is conditioned by karma, but other conditions like nutriment and temperature can also condition that eye sense to deteriorate slowly or quickly or something. Anything more to add?
Or just like smoke.
Smoke.
In your
eyes. Yes.
temporarily.
The rest of the nutrition, chitta, nutrition, so the other conditions will support.
Support or harm. So, for example, like the example of smoke or nutriment. So, karma is conditioning their eye sense, but at the moment of smoke in one's eyes, then no conditions to be able to see, or the eye sense is affected at that moment. Or if you take all the right vitamins or eat your carrots, then it conditions eye sense temporarily to be better. So karma is the main conditions, but these are other supporting conditions. Like if karma is conditioning bad health, like some cancer or some disease or something, so the medicines or the other factors may help the life to stay longer, but sooner or later karma will bring the result of death. But it's so many factors involved. But actually, as a Jan was stressing, all just dharmas, each one conditioned, and no one can know all the intricacy, but one can see so many other factors like nutriment and temperature and chitta, like in the van, have such a big effect on the rupas or on anything.
Is breath clear now? Anywhere it should be, and it should clearly, clearer.
Yes, clearer.
It's clearer now.
Just a little clearer now.
A little less smoke for a moment.
Actually, when Ajahn asked me a moment, when Ajahn asked me a question, suddenly, nothing in my head at that moment. I mean, no such just moha. Just moha at that moment. So, it's clearer, much clearer now. Yeah. It's different moments. Yeah.
Even it's hot or soft, heat or cold, it's different from the what you take for arms.
Right.
Tongue or anything. See?
Yes.
Because usually the kalapa, which is conditioned by citta, cannot be known. It's there but cannot be known. Only that which is there, that it appears different from others to be able to be known, when there are more understanding, little by little.
Very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So, just by panya, just panya can understand it. So, no worries and no doubt at the moment.
Is that kalapa mean the
group?
Group.
So just what we keep talking about, the eight inseparable rupas or more, each group is a kalapa, K-A-L-A-P-A.
Why is water not included in the kalapa, despite the fact that water is one type of for Mahabuddha rupa?
So why do you say it's not included in the kalapa? Because it's one of the Mahabhuta Rupas, so the Mahabhuta Rupas are in every kalapa, one of the eight.
Water is not in the
kalapa. Not what? The, in the
kalapa. It's not experience, but it's one of the Mahabhuta Rupas in each kalapa. It has the quality of cohesion. That is how the other rupas in that group cohere together.
So it's one of eight Vini Boga Rupa?
Yes.
And it's one of the Mahabhuta Rupa.
Yes. That one of the four. Without primary cohesion, the other rupas couldn't arise.
During this trip, I found three mistakes in my writing. I have to collect it.
So the understanding is not strong enough. So for one moment, we seems to catch the meaning, but then the other moha comes in and ignorance again.
That's why we have to think over and over again in order to have clear understanding. enough to understand.
Yes, well, one point that I'm not clear about is when you were talking about the Vipassana jnanas. So we know sense door, mind door process is like now, and we know that Vipassana jnana has to have nimitta as object and has to arise.
If you don't use nimitta, it's just like
now,
reality.
And it has to arise in the mind door processes because namas have to be known. But I think it can arise in sense door and mind door processes, but we know that the namas can only be known in the mind door process. So
can the mind door process know everything?
Mind door process can know everything, yes.
It's the only doorway,
yes,
which can experience anything,
everything.
Panjati, reality, and nibbana, and
so
nama and rupa.
When we say or read that the Vipassana jnanas have to arise in the mind door processes, so it has to be in the mind door processes, but can also be in the sense door processes
just,
arising in between.
Just like now. Because you see that how many mind door processes, see,
yeah,
uncountable, while only a moment of seeing.
Right. Okay.
So when it's Vipassana jnana, that is very short the sense of.
Yes.
Because it's different world.
But
it's the world of mind of.
Yeah. But actually the understanding can be in sense
know
as
the
well
difference
as
between the sensor and mind of. And panya can arise with the sensor.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What
so
is javana?
We are talking about the sender process that should be the kusala or akusala after a moment of some moment of the seeing, like seeing arise.
But what is it?
What is the meaning of jhana?
It's kusala or akusala citta.
So actually they are kusala or akusala cittas that arise. And the jhana is the function of the kusala or akusala cittas to run through the object.
Mm.
But actually it's the kusala or akusala cittas that arise in that process to be accurate.
That's why people just like the word javana so much, but they don't know what they're talking about. Citta, whether by way of chati, or by way of function, or by way of hetu, or by way of what. See? So usually we don't talk about the function, but we like the word javana instead of kusala and akusala. And can kriya be javana?
No.
See, that is not enough.
Yes.
You have to understand more. Do you have kriya citta too?
Yes.
Do you have maha kriya?
No.
And when we talk about lopa, dosa, moha, citta, and jetasikas, we know that it has the function of javana, just run through the object seven times. That's why it can appear. Well, panchatvara vachana, sampadichana, santirana cannot appear at all. Just one moment.
I miss the dead and birth and rebirth or some last moment, but maybe keep for the afternoon.
Because I cannot follow.
I thought Kunsara had said about the Kanika Marana, Samuti Marana, and Samucheta Marana. Death?
Yes, but I cannot follow the understand.
Yes,
the javana
before death.
Kusala or akusala cittas, we can say before death. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the result of karma, right? This morning we're talking about the last moment of the citta.
Conditioned by karma.
So the previous karma, which could have been from that life or earlier life or any life, conditions those last kusala or akusala cittas. It's like a channel or means by which the past karma can bring the result in the next life, the birth consciousness.
So, okay, come. So, at this morning we talked that is the special case of the conditioned karma bring to the javana. That is special case, right? Like this morning we're talking
not
about.
Not special, any
case.
No, but
it's like
in the,
any case that
in
was the past karma.
She just read that it's from Javana, from the Javana other process.
And we're talking about the kusala or akusala cheetahs. Ajahn's picking up the use of javana. So actually it's better to refer to the kusala or akusala cheetahs.
Yeah,
because the javana is the function.
Yes. So at the moment right before that cheetah, it's the kusala, maybe a kusala or akusala cheetah, right?
Yes.
And that's conditioned by karma.
Yes. So it's a
by being pakatupanisya pajaya as well.
Can you
by accumulation.
By accumulation.
By karma and accumulation.
And.
Because karma cannot anyway bring result without accumulations. This is pakatu, natural, upanisya pajaya, natural, decisive support condition.
Like now, kusala karma now can condition the vipaka. Or kusala later by different pachya.
But let's say in normal life like this, karma only conditioned for the five sense door of five.
Vipaka, no matter what door.
Yes, only vipaka.
No, by way of karma pachya, but by way of pakatupanisya, it can condition kusala.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or akusala, accumulation.
Because karma accumulates. Karma is actually chetana, chetasika. So any time it arises, akusala or akusala, it accumulates. That's why I said it seems like it's just one karma that brings result. But for that one karma to arise, there has to have been the accumulation for a long time for that karma to arise that can bring result.
Sorry, I missed the point.
The point is, for example, at a moment of killing, and this is akusala karma that can bring results by way of unhappy rebirth, for example. But it's not, and it seems that it's just one chetana, one deed that brings the result. But without the accumulation of akusala karma, akusala chetana, over and over again to become that strength, that degree that can bring result. It's not possible for that karma to bring result. So that's why karma cannot bring any result without the accumulation and many other conditions as well. And for that result to occur, the result of karma and also other conditions too.
So thinking right now, as I understand that you said thinking is conditioned by the accumulation.
Yes, kusala thinking or akusala now, thinking now depending on the accumulation.
But now I have doubt
this
that...
This is pakatu upanisya pachya, the same one we discussed last night, which Ajahn just mentioned, the accumulation.
Some situations, sometimes I don't think as unusual way. Sometimes in some situations, I think in a strange way, unusual way that I have never talked about. And things, everything changes in a different direction. And I think that in these cases, the thinking is conditioned by karma too.
It's like we were discussing when dreaming, whether thinking about building spaceships like for him, or thinking about elephants, or thinking about being the king, or thinking about the smell in the van, or it's all by accumulations to think about this or that because of memory of different sense objects, which has conditioned that thinking to think in that way. And sometimes kusala thinking, like kusala thinking about reflecting about the Dharma, sometimes akusala thinking about the object one doesn't like or something, or the object of attachment, but just different accumulations, different accumulated thinking because of sanya having marked and remembered all those different sense objects in the past. Just like at night time, dreaming about fantasy objects, it's just the same now, thinking about all kinds of fantasy objects because of nimitta of reality, thinking about the nimitta of reality.